You're listening to ProPod. I'm Sean Thompson.
I'm Roy Meakin.
I'm Ian Bruce.
Now, before we get into the Edge of Tomorrow part of the whole podcast kind of thing, I thought I would give a shout out, but I thought I would kind of advertise our Facebook page. If you want to be shouted out on the thing, obviously not with a web link or anything, if you go along to www.facebook.com/podomatic1, you can give a shout out just shouting out your name, but not your username of YouTube or anything like that, unless you want to sponsor us. But also, if you want to give us ideas what to talk about, or like just ask us questions. So, I think that's about enough for the intro. So, Rory, do you want to take over Edge of Tomorrow?
Yes. Okay, so today Ewan and I are going to discuss our thoughts on the movie Edge of Tomorrow, which is a film that, in my personal opinion, isn't actually getting much attention as it actually deserves. Reason for that is because Edge of Tomorrow is one of those films that kind of suffers from one of the few things that actually happens, like with Dread. Films like Dread suffer from bad marketing, where basically they market it as something that's completely the opposite of what the film should be, and that just so happens to be something that they don't actually want it to be. And therefore, my expectations for Edge of Tomorrow weren't exactly very high, as if you watched our previous podcast, we explained that, all that kind of stuff. My low expectations help the film. So anyway, I'm going to ask Ewan some questions about what he thought of Edge of Tomorrow. He's going to ask me, and we're going to give in detail our thoughts on Edge of Tomorrow. So Ewan, initially, what were your thoughts on Edge of Tomorrow? I mean, Sean, you haven't seen it, so it's fine.
It's me that's asking the fucking question!
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to ask him the question.
Okay.
You can butt in if you want, Sean, and ask a question for those who don't know or haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow. And warning, anyone who hasn't seen Edge of Tomorrow, spoiler alert, there will be some spoilers in here, so go ahead, Ewan. Your thoughts.
What were your expectations when you walked through the cinema doors?
Pretty low. Mm. I mean, all I was thinking about is I'm going to pack this pick and mix tub so full and we get so much sweets in it. But, you know, I wasn't actually thinking about the movie. I was thinking about what I was going to eat during it. But it wasn't my favourite movie of the year, but it was better than a lot of the other ones.
Okay, well then, Sean, anything you want to ask us?
Is there any spoilers you can hint? Spoiler alert!
Spoiler. Well, actually, there was one thing. A lot of people who've seen the film are a bit concerned with the whole, well, not really concerned, but a little bit kind of
confused.
Well, not really confused, but annoyed at how he actually gets his ability. For anyone who doesn't know what Edge of Tomorrow is about, it basically follows a soldier. It's in the, it's like in the sort of like present time. They kind of set it up where it's like in this present time, because they kind of, in the trailers, that's another problem. It sets up, it's in the future and it's all this special effects and stuff. But it's not. It kind of feels like
it's the present time.
It feels like it's a few years ahead.
10 years in the future.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like, imagine Call of Duty made a movie, but instead of terrorists, it was aliens.
Yeah.
That's actually what it feels like. That is actually the vibe that you actually get from...
That's a good definition.
Edge of Tomorrow, Call of Duty, the movie, but with aliens instead of terrorists. And you know what? It does feel like that, and that's what I think actually I liked about Edge of Tomorrow, because it was kind of gritty and realistic. And basically, what's about it is it takes place in near this time, and basically there are these aliens, and I don't know, what do they call them? The Mimics? I think they called them Mimics. And basically they're these really cool kind of looking aliens, like, these things are bloody fast. I mean, seriously, if you watch the movie, these things are absolutely, they'll be in one side of the room, then they'll just go, and it's scary. It's scary how fast they actually are.
They're almost like they're made out of metal, isn't it?
Well, they do look like they're made out of metal, and these things, they are really menacing.
They're like big octopus type things.
They are. They're like big octopuses, and basically, what happens is there's this sort of a general, and you're kind of like a spokesperson for the military. He was pretty funny. That's what I like about it as well. The humor in it is pretty good. But anyway, getting back to the point,
he dies. Comes back to life again.
He gets infected, which actually leads to the whole point, like the whole problem with the thing. He goes out into the battle, and there are these certain types of mimics called alphas. And there's this whole system that's been set up where basically when an alpha dies...
Let's talk about the Omega first.
Oh, the Omega.
Yeah, well, the Omega is pretty much almost like the master power source of the
It's this big
aliens.
Ball sort of thing.
Yeah, and so what happens is when these alphas are like mimics except on a
larger scale. They're massive, they're blue.
And they're bigger, stronger and faster. And when an alpha is killed, Omega resets the day. But because... The first time he is killed, Tom Cruise is killed.
It bleeds on him.
by the Amiga, it bleeds on him, because he kills the Amiga at the same time, it bleeds on him, and he inherits the power, so every time he's killed the Amiga, resets the day.
Uh-huh. So basically, that was actually some of the reason why people didn't really like that, but you know what, at the end of the day, if I was to give up a good reason or why these aliens can do this for an actual good movie, then I would actually probably take up the good movie part. And basically, what I like about the film was, it never made you... essentially, the first hour and a half of the film is a battle. It's just the exact same battle going on and on and on. And it's the exact same scene going on and on and on. The only difference is, it didn't make it boring. It was never boring. It was never, like, you kind of thought, okay, come on, hurry up, hurry up. The system, the thing was good. And what I liked about it was, because it actually worked for their tone, because he dies so many times... That, spoiler alert, near the end, he actually loses the power. So, actually, even though a lot of people have said that it's a disappointing ending, I personally didn't think it was that disappointing. I thought it was a pretty good ending. But I'm not going to tell you what it was, because I'm not that big a spoiler. But I think when he loses his ability to do it, it kind of creates a much more intense mood to the film, and it creates a lot more urgency, but it kind of makes you think, okay, now he has to be careful, because they've set themselves up as he cannot survive all this impossible stuff, because it's realistic. So when you go up against these mimics, and you see what they're like, it just makes you think, how the hell are they going to beat these things? So what about you, Ewan?
It does make it more intense, because he gets killed so easily, just when he loses his power, it's like, oh dear.
It does make it more intense, it's like...
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah,
that.
I wasn't really listening to what you're saying before, but
no, okay. Well, either way, Emily Blunt plays the who do you call the big metal bitch? I think it was the Phil metal bitch.
I can't remember her real name though.
Uh-huh. Is her name Phil? No, metal bitch?
No, they call her that.
In these big Iron Man suit things, rip off of Iron Man suit things.
I would call her a rip off Iron Man. But you call everything that's called, that involves a robot and Iron Man ripoff.
Yeah, but it is. But I think her real name is Rita, isn't it?
Rita.
But they actually make him dying quite funny, actually.
They make dying hilarious in the movie. And that's difficult to do. And that's what I liked about Edge of Tomorrow. And basically, in the film, the effects were pretty good. And in my personal opinion, I think Edge of Tomorrow is probably, as of now, until like other films come out, is possibly my favourite film of 2014, because I was so surprised by it. I enjoyed it so much. I think it was just really good. So, Ewan, is there anything else you want to say about Edge of Tomorrow before we conclude on it?
It was good, yeah. I did enjoy it. It was pretty intense, especially when he does lose his ability to reset the day when it dies, but yeah, all very good. Anything else you'd like to cover, Rory?
Do you know what? Honestly, Edge of Tomorrow is like one of those films where it's like you can love it, but really there isn't really that much to talk about it. That's what's actually kind of good about it. It follows a very linear thing, which I actually bring that up. It's not like movies where you know how you get a thing where they kind of delay and they kind of delay. Seriously, this movie is you notice it is very linear. I mean, it sticks. So there's no, like, spreading it, there's no, like, extra... The character development in it is replaying the scenes. It's none of that kind of sort of, we're going to stop the action here. Like, the character development is in the action. And that's hard to describe, but, like, as you can see, he is changing as it's going through this whole montage section in the battles. You can see he's developing, he's getting all that kind of stuff, he's getting better. The development is in the whole dying aspect, and it's not the leaving the action for a little bit of development. It's more like you can keep the people who are in it for the spectacle entertained, but you can also get the critics who complain that there's not enough character development and all this kind of stuff, and you can keep them happy because in the actual action, there is stuff going on. There's always something happening. It's not just random violence, which is actually what I think is good about Edge of Tomorrow. Every time there's action, it's not just pointless, useless action. There's always a reason for it to be there. It's either them getting used to something, or it's the final battle, or it's just showing the devastation. So I think it works. That's really all I have to say about Edge of Tomorrow. Is there anything else you want to say, Ewan? Because that's just all I have to say about Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it doesn't really leave you much to say about it. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to go see it for yourself.
You've kind of covered it all, to be honest.
Yeah, there's not much to it, but it's simple, but it works.
I mean, if there's nothing we haven't covered, then obviously someone out there's going to be like, no, this bit happened,
happened. No,
that's it was a couple of weeks ago now.
If there ever was a weakness or like something wrong with Edge Tomorrow that had to be changed, I think that is probably, you know, even it's not really in the movie's fault, but there's really nothing much to talk about because it's essentially, if I'm right, essentially the whole movie is probably around 15 or 10 scenes just on replay. Just imagine if you just, you know, bring up that whole video game aspect. It really feels like it's a video game movie because you always play the level differently. It feels like anyone who's played Mass Effect knows that each time you do it, most of the time you're going to play differently with the whole dialogue set, or Skyrim as you bring up and other things. You're always going to speak to someone differently. You could die and then you're going, like, no. Like, you'll either be more hesitant or you'll be more, okay, calm down. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're capable of. Or more like, just come on, hurry up. That's good about it. It's more because they did say it.
See, that's... if I can interrupt now. See, with video games, see Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
See when you're... fighting a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you die, you keep respawning.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of learn where to go.
It's 6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock,
it's
by the
six
way.
6 o'clock,
guys.
Everybody. Who knew that? Round of applause.
Updates available.
Updates are available. Anybody who wants updates, there are updates. Just to leave Edge of Tomorrow there, as you were saying, bring up the whole Legend of Zelda thing, it just reminded me of something, just because the whole tone of Legend of Zelda. Well, there's actually a game that's coming up that I think all three of us actually would be interested to play. And it's a Lord of the Rings game.
Does it involve porn?
No.
I'm not interested.
I'm sorry. Okay, Sean is a bit of a porn addict, in case anyone didn't notice.
No, I'm not. My parents might watch this, Rory.
I'm sorry, but it's a bit true. But he needs help. He's got a few issues. Just talk to me in private. You mean
you're
and
you're talking about my penis on a podcast.
What penis? Anyway, so there's a game that's come out called... Shadows of Mordor, and it's basically a game that takes place between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and basically what it is it follows that tactic, as you were saying. It actually feels like Edge of Tomorrow, because what happens is when you die, it's this system where it's like you don't replay the level, you time moves on. So say you get killed by an orc, because you've already been killed and you've been inhabited by this wraith. And what happens is, every time you die, time jumps ahead. So the orc that killed you basically gets promoted. So he becomes more powerful, he becomes more skilled. And basically there's this whole dialogue section where you can come across him again, because it's an open world game. And basically it's a third person open world game. And you come across like this orc guy, and any of the other orcs who are around there killed you. And they're more stronger. And basically what happens is, there's this whole dialogue section where it's like, he'll like say something like, "Hang on a minute, didn't I kill you already? What, this is ridiculous, what's going on here?" And if every time he kills you and kills you and kills you, it doesn't replay the level, so you can just do it, because it never gives you a chance to like adapt. And it's like, I think I like that. Basically you can turn a simple orc who killed you into this big, badass, impossible to beat boss. And I'm really looking forward to that game, because it comes in October. No, you can't just... That'd be an awesome game, though.
Yeah.
I want to have a Lord of the Rings game that allows you to be, a Lord of the Rings game that follows the movie, and you can use the ring. And I'd also like to have a Hobbit game.
Yeah.
Because I really think that, maybe not the whole thing in general, but maybe like a sort of open world style game where, you know how with Lego you can switch between all the different characters?
Yeah.
You had the whole dwarf system, and you're like, it's kind of like this sort of linear open worlds kind of thing, like Skyrim, that kind of guides you to certain places.
Yeah.
Like in the main story, it guides you so you can come across all these different threads. But there's like one level in particular that I think could be really intense if you're like, and it's the scene with you're in Smaug's lair. And I think if you could switch between third person to first person, if you were in first person zone and basically you're to talk to this dragon. And
why would you talk to a dragon that's capable of killing you?
In the movie, Smaug discovers Bilbo. So basically, Bilbo has to talk to Smaug and kind of convince him. He's like, "Oh, Smaug, you're so great. You look so amazing. You remember that?" He kind of kisses his ass. But Smaug, that's the thing that was making Smaug so brilliant, because he knows he's kicking his ass. But he's like, he's not gonna kill him immediately. He's like, "Do you know what? I'm gonna take a little bit of this." But that's the thing. Bringing in the whole Mass Effect point of view, if you could have like a dialogue section where it's kind of like,
You suckling on your Juice Pop.
Stop, shut up, Sean. And it's like, I think it'd be cool if there was like a system where it's like, you can talk to Smaug, and basically certain dialogue will annoy Smaug or piss him off, and basically, if you're not careful, Smaug will kill you.
What do you think of Ronin Probot last night, Smaug?
No, but think about it. If, like, you say something wrong...
Smaugwee's iPod. He just called me a bad name!
Come now, don't be shy.
I shall cook you for
Step
dinner.
Into the light.
Anyway, in case you have noticed, I love Smaug.
Yeah.
Well done, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who doesn't?
Smaug haters. Basically, that's the funny thing. Smaug is the only dragon I've ever come across that absolutely nobody hated. Seriously. I mean, some people say, oh, he's a bit dated, but no one ever hates him. But anyway.
Apart from the Shrek dragon. No
one hates the Shrek dragon.
No one hates Shrek in general.
Shrek's
Shrek is love, Shrek is life.
Don't bring that crap up.
I spread my butt cheeks apart for Shrek.
Do not bring that part up. Anyway, so with Smaug in particular, maybe you could hide from him. There's this whole system where if he finds you, you have to convince him and, you know, kiss his ass. I think it
not
could create...
legitimately kiss
no,
his ass.
But you know what I mean, like dialogue-wise, you'd be like, oh, Smaug, you're the greatest. And if you say something like that he could perceive as wrong,
no,
it could really create some intensity.
See, on that bit, right, it would give you like three options, like, oh, Smaug, you're the greatest. Smaug, I'm just here to have a look. What the hell do you want?
Like, no, but if it's options. Clever, it's like Smaug, like, I have not come here for any reason, or something like that. And he's like,
yeah, but if
why
it gave...
are you here?
See, when you're talking to him, if it gave you three options, a really kissy one, a one that you're like, oh, all right, and a one that you absolutely hate him, so then you could kind of play that character, and then you maybe get heart in it.
If you're you're taking some risks, and like maybe you can like get some bonus points for, like, risk taker, and maybe you can get like a little extra XP or whatever because like you took a risk, like you're bad mouthing a dragon. But
yeah, like you got like when you went to the shops, you had like badass points.
Badass points, there you go. But because I think it could work because there's a level in Mass Effect 2 where basically it's this little side mission, it's like a character development level, and basically there's this really powerful crew member that you have, and she's got this really like this. This psychotic sister's going around killing everyone. So you have to go to this place and basically, you have to convince, like, draw out her sister in the first place. Oh, no, it's her daughter, so to say. Sorry, it's her daughter. And then you have to bring her out. And then you have to talk to her and convince her to take her back to your place. And in that level, very simple things, very little things that you see would lead her to... doing stuff that, or leave you and then you've lost her and then like you'd have to continue on, but I just kept replaying it until I got her. But that level in particular, that was really intense because I was like, okay, I cannot let her go because then she's going to go and kill some people and it's going to be on me, and that does happen.
All those people that died, it was my fault.
No, but you get invested in it because that's what's good about Mass Effect, and I think that could work with The Hobbit because maybe like when you come across enemies you can have dialogue with them and try and convince them, like with the trolls in the first Hobbit, or as Thorin with the Goblin King and that kind of stuff. It would work. So what do you think, Ewan? Like, what do you think of that idea?
I don't know. I don't really think it's a good idea, but moving on from it, we spent quite a bit of time on it. I think what we're really... well, they're doing it, I'm really excited for it, is the next Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah, when is it supposed to come out?
October this year, they're saying.
Is it October? There's no trailers for it.
I know. Well, I don't know, I'll need to look it up again, but it's saying it could be called Red Dead Rebellion. And I can't wait for that. That's my favourite game.
You think?
Ever. Yeah.
That just brings up the thing. There's a lot of good games that are coming out.
There is, yeah. The thing I liked about Red Dead Redemption compared to Grand Theft Auto is that sort of thing happened in the West. I think Grand Theft Auto is maybe a bit exaggerated.
Oh, yes, it is. See, no offense to Grand Theft Auto 5, but you know what? It is really exaggerated. I mean, let's face it, see those three characters, they would have been dead by, like, the first few levels.
But it is an excellent game, Grand Theft Auto. And I think Red Dead Redemption was released in 2008, and obviously it's made a massive amount of progress.
It still holds up.
Yeah, and even still with the digital world and technology.
Has extremely advanced.
I think this would be amazing.
Do you see, Red Dead Redemption is one of those games that even if it came out nowadays...
It still looks great.
I mean, people would probably say it looks a little bit dated, but you know what,
It still looks great.
It still looks great, that's exactly the point. If it came out now...
This is going to be amazing.
I think Red Dead Redemption, like all the other games like GTA and all that, Call of Duty are kind of getting more advanced, but Red Dead Redemption is kind of taking you back.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There's nothing. I hope they don't ruin that, but I think that it's going to look great.
Yeah, it's not as if they're going to invent flying horses or flying hover cars.
I think I'd like to do a swim. You keep drowning.
Oh, yeah. But that does actually make sense because not many people. I mean,
you have
not,
to. I think
yeah, but I think it is a bit stupid when you fall into a small little water hole.
I hope they're making a massive map like Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. I think what Red Dead Redemption is one of those games that, like, it holds up because see when you look at for comparison, look at GTA 5 and then compare it to GTA 4 and then compare GTA 4 to GTA 3. Those games, see when you compare them, you can notice a massive time gap. With Red Dead Redemption, from what I've seen, it doesn't really date well. Because I'm guilty of this because I'm more of a movie person, not really a game person. But I will only play a game that's came out a few years later, which is why I actually play Red Dead Redemption, is only if it looks like it could hold up today. And Red Dead Redemption holds up. I only played GTA 4. I didn't even finish GTA 4 just because I thought it was so repetitive. I only played GTA 4 because I wanted to get myself all ready for like the the controls wise for GTA 5, and it did help. But it really is kind of dated. But Red Dead Redemption, no, it's not dated. It kind of holds up. And that's what I think. It's the same with the new game. Well, not really the new game, but it's like the Batman Arkham Origins game. Yeah. Batman Arkham game, so I say.
That is a massive improvement in quality of Origins. Oh, yes. It finished too quickly.
Yeah, but you know what? It's technically the Rocksteady trilogy, you can call it now, because I love the advancement, because I will probably still play...
The suit is great.
The suit, do you know what? See the new one. The suits get better and better and better.
Yeah.
And do you know, honestly, I can remember absolutely really loving the idea from Batman Arkham City. I really thought that idea with the whole, there's a city of criminals... and I thought that was just a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I thought, in general, it's a pretty good premise. And I like the whole aspect that the new one coming out, you can control the Batmobile. And the thing is, what I've noticed is, each game doesn't look dated. I mean, you can tell there's like a big difference in time gap between them, but it's not dated completely. But look at Halo. I mean, no offense to Halo, but Halo, compare the first Halo to Halo 4, it is really... There's a big, massive gap. You can notice the difference. I really like games... where it doesn't look like there's a big massive gap between them, and I really think that because see with Call of Duty, you compare Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and then you look at it, you can notice there's a bit of a difference, but it's not that big a difference. So that's what do you think,
Yeah, well that kind of put me in the spot, but yeah, Red Dead Redemption. Once again, I say it.
Going back to Red Dead Redemption now.
Quality on it is superb, and when they bring out the new one, I just can't wait, because 2008 to 2014, might even be later than that, God, the technology jump has been massive.
Oh yeah, it has been. But my thought is that, my fear is that if Red Dead Redemption, bringing up the whole game's aging difference, if Red Dead Redemption, because that came out, what was it, 2011? Was it 2008 when it came out? Oh, good God. It came out 2000. I'm pretty sure it wasn't 2000, but ever it came out a little while ago. So basically, when you've got that, but when you have that, my fear is that if Red Dead Redemption 2 or Red Dead, what was it, Red Dead,
Red Dead Rebellion.
Rebellion. When it comes out, it'll make Red Dead Redemption look really old and it'll drive people away.
I think it will.
No one's gonna, let's face it, no kid younger than us is gonna go to GTA 4. So,
yeah.
In my opinion, I think games that are like don't make.
Can we leave it on a note that games are advancing, but we need some games to stay behind?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we really need to wrap up. This is time up, I'm afraid. We're at 23 minutes. So, thanks all for watching. I'm sorry we have to cut it this short, but thanks for all your support. And like I said, head along to www.facebook.com/propod1 if you want to ask us questions, etc., etc. So, guys.
So, I'm Yuri Meekin.
I'm Ian Bruce.
And I'm Sean Thompson, and we'll see you guys later.